Well, welcome, and it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad I was able to be here. It's an important day in the life of the church. And just as a reminder to all of us, I know you know this, that the call of God is significant and powerful and life-changing in a person's life. And I remember when God called me to ministry, I was in the field, out in the farm, and didn't realize then the changes that were going to be taking place and how really my life was going to change forever. Nothing is ever the same again. When He saves us, He sanctifies us, and then Pastor, He calls us. And I commend you for answering that call. Kind of unique when we have a pastor that we're able to install in a church that you've been a part of for a while. That's not a first for by any means. I've had quite a few of those in the 21 years that I've been a district superintendent. But not long ago, we installed Trent Ice at Salem Grace in exactly the same scenario. Had been a part of the church. God had called him to ministry. He was in the process, still in the process of education and all that. And God blesses these men and women when they respond to His call. And we get to be a part of it. Now, I want to remind us that that's a God thing. It's not a man thing. It's a God thing. And we can be confident of that, that God is up to something pretty amazing in this church and in your life. And things will never be quite the same again. And I mean that positively. It's been an amazing journey. When I look at this point in my life, it's just been an amazing journey. In a moment, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 in a moment. The early church understood the call of God. The early church understood what it meant to launch the church, living in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Interesting that your songs were about power and about love. This scripture is about power and it's about love. Totally. In fact, that's my points. The power and the love of God at work in the early church. Well, we didn't coordinate that, but that's how God works. And what we find in the letter of Ephesians, church, is a radical letter. The book of Ephesians was a letter written by Paul addressed to the Ephesian church, but with the intention of Paul to give it to all the church plants, all the new churches that were starting at the beginning of an unleashing of God's power on Christianity. And that's what we find when we read the book of Ephesians. They hadn't prayed. They had been praying, church, for a powerful encounter of God. Now, where we tie that in this morning at a significant moment like this, Pastor, is my heart is as burdened as ever for a powerful encounter of God in the church. The tendency is to get sidetracked and to get caught up in all kinds of stuff, you know. When we look at the early church, what the scripture is talking about and how the power was unleashed in the early church, and we look at where we are today, we again need to focus and pray for and still believe that God is unleashing His power in the church. Amen? That God is unleashing His presence, His power, His mercy in the church today. And I think as we catch that, that's the point where we get to be an influence in a community that we're praying for. Now, at this stage of my life, Pastor, that's pretty important to me. I've worked for 21 years. I was a pastor for 19 years. And then I worked for 21 years now as a district superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. And I see churches that flourish and take their community for Christ. And then I see churches that get caught up in all kinds of stuff. And they just seem to be spinning their wheels. Well, I think we're at a point where we want to take this community for Christ. I share that with you. Now, you probably have heard that my 21 years, I'm winding that up at this next district assembly. This man gets to retire from the district superintendency, but you know what I get to do? I'm taking a church. I'm going to get to pastor a church, and I knew I had one more church under my belt, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to miss the superintendency. It's been an interesting journey, but we already know where we're going after district assembly, and I'm ready, Pastor, I'm ready to focus in on a community and make sure that many people come to Jesus Christ because of the church. Well, that's where I hope you're at, okay? I hope that's where your heart is this morning, that it's not about us. It's about the church of Jesus Christ and His power and His love and His presence. In Ephesians chapter 1, a scripture you may be familiar with, beginning at verse 18, Paul praying, talking to that early church in this radical letter, he said, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." The hope, folks, to which He has called you. Now, I hope that we're hopeful this morning. Amen? Are you a hopeful church? If you're not, make sure you get there. Because the hope that we have comes from Jesus Christ. Be a hopeful church. Now look what he says, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. How cool is that? That's unstoppable kind of power, church. That power, don't miss this. I love this scripture. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. The promise that God is giving us right here, church, is that you and I can experience that same kind of power that God displayed when He raised Jesus from the dead. That's pretty significant, wouldn't you think? And here's my prayer along with Paul's, and what Paul was praying is that the people of God would have an encounter with God. That this morning when you come to worship Him, it's another part of your encounter with God. My hope is that when you go from this place every single week, not just this morning, but every single week, the conversation that takes place in the car is, wasn't God amazing today? Look what He's doing in our lives today. Look what He's doing in my heart right now. It's interesting, the conversation that takes place in cars after church on Sunday mornings. And folks, your conversation will determine really what's in your heart. If there's bittering and fussing and all kinds of stuff going on in your mind and dissension and tension, better take a look at our heart. But if there's joy and there's victory and you're talking about the things that God is up to in your life and in the church and in people's lives around you, then you're experiencing this prayer that Paul was talking about, that we would have that kind of encounter with Jesus Christ that changes everything for us. You know, when we become followers of Christ, I use my life as an example. When Jesus Christ rescued Leslie and me, it was through a church that was smaller than this one. Little church of 30 or 40 in rural North Dakota, and I was a farmer, and things were going fine on the farm. In fact, those were pretty good days for farming back in the mid-70s and late 70s. The prices were good, and weather was good, and all that was going good for us, but our lives were falling apart. And not knowing what to do, finally a little Nazarene church intersected our lives. And folks, when Jesus Christ came into our hearts, it wasn't just some insignificant moment, it was an encounter. We had an encounter with Jesus Christ that changed everything for us. Nothing was ever the same again when we think of what Christ did in our lives. You know, it's kind of interesting because now Leslie and I are looking back, and I'll be 65 this summer, and I'm going to continue on in ministry. But we look back over that journey, and he changed everything for us. When we look at the kids, our 7 kids, 3 of them that we adopted that we wouldn't even have met had the church not come into our lives. He changed everything for us. The 15 grandkids, isn't that crazy? And Leslie thinks she has to buy a Christmas present for all of them. I just don't get that. But anyway, he changed everything for us. And kind of what's neat for us this morning, and I know it's not always the case for everybody and not always been the case for us, but this morning, all 7 of my kids and all 15 grandkids are going to be in a church somewhere worshiping God and having encounters with Jesus Christ. That was a moment when he saved us. It was an encounter that we'll never, ever get over. It was the kind of encounter when things would come across our paths that were difficult or trials. We held on to that encounter that we had when Jesus saved us and sanctified us and he changed our lives. We were able to hold on to that and always get through. And you know, through the years, we'll be married 45 years this next year. They didn't think we were going to make it when we first got married. That's how bad off we were. But Jesus Christ changed all that. In church, through the years, I can tell stories, and I won't tell them this morning for the sake of time, of when God healed one of our kids, and when God worked financial miracles in our lives, and when God would bring Leslie and I together in different ways with a supernatural intervention of God, and how God would intervene in our churches and in our ministry, and sometimes it seemed like we're right in the midst of a storm, and all of a sudden he showed up. And you know what those were? Those were encounters. Those were encounter moments with the power of God. And you have those. In church, my prayer for my Illinois churches, and specifically for this church this morning, is these are going to be days of encounters with God, where God intersects in your life, Pastor, and God intervenes, and God works miracles in your midst, that when you go home on Sundays, you're talking and overwhelmed about, wow, look what God did this past week. Look what he's doing now. Look what he's doing in our service. Make sure that that's what's happening in your lives. You see, to have an encounter with God, what Paul was pointing out is you better look for it. Better be open for it. Be ready for it, because Satan will want to come and snatch that all away from you and steal that from you, and don't let him do that. Amen? Amen. So we look at the scripture. I go to chapter 3 now. You don't have to put this up on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, we go to chapter 3 to talk about this power that Paul is talking about in chapter 1. When we encounter Christ, we encounter his power. In chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That the power of God will be very real to you. Folks, make sure you catch that. Don't miss it. A couple examples in the Bible that I really love. The woman at the well, for instance. Matthew, I can't remember where that's found, but I know it's found in the different parts of Scripture. It's found in John. That's where it is. The woman at the well, when she has the encounter, an encounter with Jesus Christ at the well. And here the woman, Jesus approaches her and he talks to her and she talks about being married 5 different times, and the one she was with isn't her husband. And she has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Catch this, church. The encounter was so real that she goes back to her family, and you read on in that portion of Scripture, you discover that the whole family came to Christ because of her encounter with him. She talked about it. It changed her life. We don't get the whole picture, but obviously it changed her life. An encounter with the power of God where she's never the same again. Now, one of my favorite characters is the demonic man. In different places of Scripture, it talks about 2, but the one in particular, the demonic man, he was chained up on the edge of town, on the edge of the city, the demonic man. In fact, he was so violent that they had to put chains on him and people stayed away from him. You get this picture that this man was so full of demons. that when people would come by, if he could get to them, he'd probably beat the daylights out of them. I don't know. And you get this picture of a man that they made fun of, and that was an outcast in the community that had no hope. And everybody, including the religious leaders, stayed away from him. But you know what happened when Jesus showed up? He went and found the guy. And he delivered him from the demons. And he got him dressed and cleaned up. And the people saw what was taking place. This man that had no hope until the power of God came and intersected his life. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know why I love that scripture and why I look forward to meeting him someday in heaven? The scripture says that after Jesus had him get dressed and cleaned up and obvious change in his life, he said, go home to your family. You ever catch that? You don't always think about it, but the guy probably had a mom and dad, maybe brothers and sisters. And can you imagine when he walked in the door? It would never be the same again for that family. And see, he had an encounter. He had an encounter with the power of Jesus Christ and was never, ever the same again. You know, I wish Scripture would have the follow-up of his story. But we'll get to hear it in heaven someday when we get to see him, I'm sure. But you wonder whatever happened to him. My whole point is, when you have an encounter with the power of God, church, you can't be the same anymore. And it affects you. And the woman at the well went and told her whole community, and they saw some change in her life. And the demonic man went to his family, and the whole community had to take notice because Jesus Christ had showed up. You see, it's important, folks, that when the people of the community know about us, what they talk about is the power of God working in our lives. Amen? They don't need a bunch of negativism and all that kind of stuff. That's what the devil's trying to do with the church, and that's what keeps the church in decline and small. What the community needs to know is that the power of God is at work in this person's life. And therefore, something must be happening in this church. Amen? So we talk about the power. He prays for the power so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. But church, also when we encounter Christ, we encounter his love. Verse 17 of chapter 3. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Now I don't know what's going on in any of your lives this morning, but you know what I know for sure? Is that God loves you. He's crazy about you. No matter what's happening, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how tough your life was or how it might be right now, I don't know. I know this, that God loves you. That's what the scripture teaches us. Jesus Christ loves you. That's what caused him to come to this planet and to go to the cross and to raise from the dead and provide grace and redemption for all of us, because he loves us, he cares about us. And you know, we live in a community where people need to know that. A lot of times they get a different picture of the church than they should get. I still have people tell me in some of our communities, well, I don't go to church. I know what they act like over there. I'm not going to go to church, or I'm too bad to go to church. Or, you know, you hear all kinds of things. And that's why our community needs to know, yeah, we have standards and we believe in principles. But first and foremost, through the power of God, he loves you. He loves people in this community. He wants to rescue those like the woman at the well. You know, she's pretty messed up. She's a good example of a lot of what goes on in our communities today with all the stuff that was going on in her lives, the sexual sin and the different things that were taking place. And who knows what the demonic man got into in order to get in the condition that he was in. And Jesus Christ reached into his life because he loved them. He cared about them. And he reached into their lives and they were never the same again. Man, we have a whole community that needs to know that. I remember when I first got in ministry, Pastor. In fact, I was ministering in my hometown at the particular time. I was working at a care center, at a nursing home. And my wife laughs about this because I did maintenance. I don't do maintenance very well. Got paid to do, okay. I learned a few things, I guess. But I was doing maintenance, and I remember the nurse coming to me, and she was saying that Brian needed something done in his room. I was brand new at this job, and I was bivocational. And Brian needed something done on his heater. This was in North Dakota. And she said, now, wait a minute, I have to tell you something before you go. She said, Brian is mad at the world. He was an old man in a wheelchair. In fact, she said, when you go in, he'll probably want to throw you out. I'm thinking, thanks a lot. You know, that's what I need to hear. He's an angry man. Nobody ever comes to see him. And I remember going to his room, and sure enough, he had this look on his face, and I went in, and I was able to fix what needed to be fixed, and he let me do it because it was going to get cold in there otherwise. And I remember leaving, but church, not too many weeks later, Brian ended up in the hospital. So the big nurse catches me again, and she goes, you're the preacher around here. She said, Brian's in the hospital, and he's not going to be coming back. And she was a Christian lady. She said, he needs to know Jesus Christ, and it's your job to go up there and tell him about it. I'm going, yeah, right. He's going to throw me out of the room because I'm trying to fix his furnace, and you want me to go and talk to him about spiritual things. So the Lord began to convict me, folks. And I went up, and I saw Brian. It happened to be the same day that one of my boys, Leslie, was going in to give birth to one of our kids. And I remember going to the hospital, and it was back in the day before the HIPAA laws, and I actually talked to the doctor about Brian, and he told me, yes, Brian is probably not going to go home. So if you, and I said, I want to talk to him. He said, if you're going to talk to him, you better hurry up. Well, I put it off, and my son Scott was born, and caught the doctor again, and the doctor said, if you're going to talk to him, you better hurry up. And folks, I remember walking down the hall to talk to Brian. And I don't know what I was praying, but I was scared to death because he was an angry, mean man. And I remember turning the corner and walking into Brian's room, and he had all these tubes all over him, and they didn't think he was going to hardly live through the day. And I looked over at him, and I thought, well, he can't get out of bed and go after me if he gets mad, because he's pretty bound here. And I said, Brian, do you remember who I am? And he said, yeah. And I said, Brian, do you know what I do besides work at the nursing home? And he shook his head, yes. And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And he said, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. I thought I might put him into some shock, and then I would kill him, and he'd die, and then I would get a reputation in the community. The guy goes into the hospital and scares these people, and that didn't happen. And you know, I asked him, I said, Brian, is it okay that I pray with you? And I talked to him a little bit about the love of Jesus Christ, and that God loves him, and whatever has gone on in his life. And I didn't know what. I found out later that he'd been an alcoholic, and he was disenfranchised with his family. He was cut off completely from them, and they were angry with him and didn't want anything to do with him. And I was able to pray with him. And you know, when I got done praying, the tears were flowing down his eyes. And I remember leaving and thinking, the power of God that overrides any of our fears, the power of God combined with the love. The power combined with the love. The power of God combined with the love. And what that can do in a person's life and in a community. Well, the story wasn't over. Go back and see my wife and see my baby, and we're getting, you know, then they kept him in the hospital a few days, and the next morning I come and I'm going to see Leslie, and I catch doctor, I'd like to say his name, but he's still a doctor, so I better not. The doctor was coming down the hall, he was really young then, the doctor was coming down the hall, and he looked at me and he said, have you been in Brian's room? And I expected Brian to have passed away the night before. And I said, no, what's going on? He said, well, you just go see. In church, I walked down the hall and I went into turned the corner to go into Brian's room, and he was sitting up on his bed with his legs hanging over the edge. All the tubes were gone, and he was drinking a milkshake. Never forget it. He welcomed me and thanked me for coming. The power combined with the love of God. I saw it sitting there. The power of God combined with the love of God. You know what happened to him? His niece came and got him. And for 2 months, he went back and went with the family. How I know this, he didn't come back to the home. I didn't know what happened to him. I remember walking out of the care center one day, and this car drives up, and this young lady comes up to me, and she said, "Are you Pastor Kramer?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm Brian's niece." And she said, "I don't know what all you did, but something happened to him. He had passed away. They had 2 months." And she said, "That was the best 2 months we've ever had, because there was healing and something was going on there." You see, it's the power of God combined with the love of God. It took the power of God. I needed to love this person, even though I was a little scared of him. I'll be honest with you. At that young age, I'm not scared of that anymore. But at that time, but the power of God, whatever was going on in his life, the power of God combined with the love of God penetrated all of that. And he was not the same again for those next couple months in his life. What I remember is her thanking me and the tears flowing down her face and saying, "We needed that. Our family needed that." Folks, let's have the power and the love working together in this church. There are people all around this community that need to see the power combined with the love coming out of your lives. They need to see the power of God combined with the love of God flowing from this church all over into the community. The scripture says that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. You see, the enemy, Satan, he'll set you up. He'll steal what God wants from you. He'll set you up for the kill, destroy you for eternity. But Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." The power in the love of Christ changes everything. The power in the love of God can change a community, folks. You know what I'm hungry for these days? And I challenge you, church. This church could do this. Back in the 1850s and the mid or early 1800s, leading up to the Civil War, there was an unleashing of the power of God through people like Charles Finney and different revivals that were taking place where whole communities came to Christ. The power and presence of God was working so intensely that people would be converted without anybody talking to them. How cool would that be? Where it changed whole communities. Then Civil War comes on and you know, Satan does everything he can to stop the church. And out of that, though, out of that kind of revival, the Church of the Nazarene was born. At the turn of the century, the Assembly of God Church was born. I believe Evangelical Free, out of that kind of revival that was taking place, that the fruit kept growing. And folks, we need that. We're desperately in need of that. And that's why it's so important that the church be the church. That we get over ourselves and we get over our stuff. And we let the power of God work and the love of Christ infiltrate every part of our being, that we can be that kind of church in a community. So do that for us. Let's be that kind of community in this church. And then Ephesians 3, right in the middle of the book of Ephesians, Paul throws in, seems like a benediction, but it's really not, because it's right in the middle. But here it is. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." You know that scripture. "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we pray about," church. I know you have prayer meetings around here. The scripture says he's able to do more than all we pray about. How about this? Or imagine. You see, I can dream about this church making such an impact on this community that thousands of people will come to Christ. I can dream that. I can dream the church full 2 or 3 or 4 times on a Sunday. We're seeing that happen in churches. And this scripture says, "To him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's working within us." Unleash the power of God. Unleash the love of God. And let's see what he wants to do in the church. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I'm praying, folks, that Anna Church have the most amazing encounters with the love, the presence, and the power of Jesus Christ over these next days. Amen. Well, Pastor, if you would get your sweetheart and come and stand before us. Significant moment. And it's Lee, right? Yeah. I got that right? Okay. All right. And then those that are helping me and the church board, if you would come. And those that are helping on this side. And I believe we have a flower for Lee, if you want to put that on at this point. All right, John, if you would start us out with your scripture, please.
The Word of God. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
All right.
2 Timothy 3:16.
All right. Pastor, if you'd turn kind of half sideways here so I can address you with that. As you know, the Bible is the Word of God. That's our foundation. It's your duty to take God's Word and make it such a part of your heart and life, which I know you well enough that that's what you do. And then, of course, you deliver that. Then automatically it comes from your heart to the congregation. As God's Word continues to impact your life, that'll splash over and impact the lives of the great people in this church that we can grow spiritually together. As your people learn from it, read and memorize it and study it, God will make them into effective disciples that can help us take this love and this presence and this power of Jesus Christ, not just within the doors, but outside the doors. The Word of God is our foundation. Okay. The communion cup is significant of the sacraments. As pastor, you are called to administer the sacraments, reminding your congregation how very real and significant they are. And as we partake of the sacraments even today, as you're leading to ordination, you do this under my umbrella at this point, but you also have had the opportunity to learn the value and the importance, the beauty of what the sacraments mean to us. As God's people partake in communion, it's a wonderful time to focus on what God has done for us, paying the price on the cross. But what's even as important is what he's doing for us now, through grace, his blood, again, his power, and his love. It's not limited to communion. The sacraments include baptism. And my prayer is that you, in your ministry, have thousands of baptisms through your ministry. Is there a baptismal in this church? Amen. Good. Part of our joy is when we hear that churches are having baptismal services. Such a significant, huge part of who we are as the church. Okay. The towel is significant of this loving shepherd. Jesus loved his disciples. As pastor, you are called to love your people, to pray for them and to be a shepherd to them. You will be with them through their most wonderful, happy times, things like weddings and celebrations and all those. You get to be a part of that. You know, it's a privilege of a pastor, but you're also with them through the tragedies and the trials and those times that are so life-changing in people's lives. And it's important that we're a part of that. They will need to see the shepherding Jesus in you. People have a desire to be loved, even when they don't act like it sometimes. Jesus will give you his wisdom and his love to touch lives in all kinds of situations. You'll spend many hours in prayer for this congregation you have already. You'll continue to spend many hours in prayer over the next years. While we know you are not Jesus, you have the limitations of a man, allow them to see that good shepherd working through you. Amen. Okay.
And leadership. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from it, to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Joshua 1:6-7.
The manual is significant of leadership in the Church of the Nazarene. Now, you and I know that the Bible is your first and primary leadership book. But as a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene, you have agreed to uphold and follow the polity and government set forth by laymen and clergy through the manual. It will be your friend and your guide when you have questions concerning leading church and government and polity, as well as many spiritual issues. In fact, all our articles of faith are in the manual. A lot of the stands we take spiritually, we find that in the manual. We are a Church of the Nazarene. We believe in the sanctified life resulting in holiness. And God is blessing our church around the world with a great revival. In fact, this morning, there will be thousands of new people that come to faith in Christ in Church of the Nazarene around the world. There will be new churches planted today. And God is at work doing some amazing things in our midst. And what's cool about that is you're a part of that mission. This church is very much a part of that. So, pastor, get to know the manual, but also fill your mind with good, God-anointed leadership material to help your church be the very best it can be. So, pastor, you cannot be all things to all people. We don't expect that. But how about this? God has called you. That's huge. In his purposes and in his heart and in his mind, he has called you to accomplish what he wants accomplished. And then he opened the door through the church board and the process that he's called you specifically to this church for his purposes. I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see what he's going to do building the kingdom, getting this church ready for his return. It's probably the greatest task known to mankind, as your role in life will have eternal significance unlike any other field or occupation. So will you do your best with the Word of God, with the sacraments and the beauty involved in them, in shepherding this amazing flock, and in leadership, training and developing and keeping the church moving forward so that your church family can be the best that God can make them? If so, answer, I will. Okay. So church board, this is exciting, isn't it? I'm glad we come to this day. Will you pray for your pastor that he will continue to seek God's vision and plan for this church? And as he receives direction from God, will you carry out your duties and leadership as laid out in the manual and help him follow through on God's plan and God's vision? Will you help him share God's direction with the congregation and provide help and encouragement as God unleashes his power through you to move his kingdom forward? And as leaders, don't be afraid to talk to pastor. But it's an integrity issue that when we take any role of leadership in the church, that we're behind our pastor. It's integrity. And if we have integrity, we'll be behind the pastor if we have any leadership role in the church. If we lack that, then we ought to step aside and let someone else. But I know that you have that. You have shown me that. So will you encourage and support him? If so, answer, I will. All right, congregation, would you stand, please? Congregation, will you love this pastor and his family? Will you pray for them and for him as he seeks God's plan and vision for this great church? And then when will you be supportive in carrying out the direction and the plans that the pastor and church board bring to you? You know, that's why you elect a church board, that they can work with the leadership of the pastor, they can work as a team, they can bring things to you, and we want you to be able to be behind them and trust that God is working through their lives. Even when you don't agree or don't understand something, make sure that you too are a person of integrity and keep communications open. Get behind the program when he and the church leadership move forward with God's plan. Let him know that you love and support him and take good care of his wife and his family. Remind them often that you love them and you are glad that they are your pastoral family. If you will do this, please answer, I will. All right, let's pray together. Father, I thank you for Pastor Randy and Lee. I thank you that you've led us to this point and you put this on the hearts of this church board, and that they had the courage to call me and have this discussion. And Lord, we prayed and we sought your direction, and you opened door after door, and we give you thanks for that. Lord, I pray that this church see their greatest days ever, that as they look back at good history, good days, that they look forward to some of the greatest days they can ever imagine. I pray for an anointing on Pastor Randy, for your strength and your power and your love to flow so freely in him and through him and from him that he can make an impact in this community. Lord, watch over them as a couple and bring good things into their lives. Watch over their family. Lord, we thank you for your healing touch that you've put on him. And Lord, for what you're doing in this church, we believe that your power is being unleashed, your love is evident, and that many, many are going to come into the kingdom. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, leaders. We're going to receive communion together and close this wonderful service, and I believe there's a potluck dinner following. So, Pastor, how do they receive communion here? Do they come up? Do we pass them out? Or okay. All right. Okay. Sounds good. Why don't you come and let's. Okay. So if you prepare it, I'll read the scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the scripture says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who drinks and eats without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Pastor, would you come and pray for your congregation, and then you can dismiss us in a moment. Let's congratulate him one more time. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming this morning. It's an honor to be chosen. And it's also scary. It's a big responsibility to be held accountable in many, many ways. But it's also a very, very humbling and rewarding thing to serve Christ in this manner. You guys are wonderful people. I love all of you. You guys have been so good to me and my wife, my family. So caring, so kind, and I just want more for this church than you can imagine. I want to see this church just explode. I really do. But that takes all of us, and I see that. I see such unity and such love between you guys. When I walk through the door, I feel that. And that's encouraging to know, and I want to continue that. And but it takes you guys as well. It takes your prayers and your love, along with everything that I can do to the best of my ability. But I just want to say that I appreciate you guys. I love you, and I know that this church can do such great things, such great things. And, you know, it takes each and every one of us. Sometimes it just takes one's praying. If that's all you can do is pray, then pray. If it means that you can get out and witness to people, witness to people. If that's what it takes, you do what God's calling you to do. And I'm here to help you in your path for that. And that's what I'm here for. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I just ask for wisdom, strength. Lord, I need that more than ever. But Lord, everything that's given to me comes from you. Lord, let my words be your words. Let my heart be your heart. Lord, and let your Holy Spirit be in complete control of everything that's said and done, not only in my life, but in this church. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.